turned myself on. Good morning. Well, this is Baptist Men's Sunday, and you guys got to the bottom of the barrel and got me up here again. It's always an honor and privilege to be here and to be asked to speak at my church. I look out and I see a few faces missing, but that's because the pastor put out a picture of me yesterday warning people that I would be speaking. He put out the mean picture of me that I look at and go, who is that grumpy old man? And Exactly. And you notice my children aren't here this morning. They were in the insane asylum last night, and they go to this annual Halloween thing up at the Weston Hospital there, the lunatic asylum. It's so right for them to be there, and I could show you pictures, and you would find that quite interesting. But they have a good time doing a little crazy and so forth up there for Halloween. So I actually did not tell them that I was even preaching this morning until just the other day, because they'd already made their plans. I know they make their plans to go up there. And you didn't tell us you were preaching. I said, I know, because I know that you're going to be up there late, and I didn't want you driving home late, and they're spending the night with some friends up there, and that's a lot safer. And besides, as my son said, he hears me preach all the time. You know, my children work for me, so I do now feel like I'm working for my children, because they start telling me what's going to happen in the office now, and that's okay. That's okay. But again, it's a wonderful privilege to be here. And when I start thinking about, well, okay, what am I going to preach on Baptist Men Sunday? Well, I'm going to preach on Baptist men. Not to discount all those wonderful ladies out there. Okay, but I'm going to talk about Baptist men. And I want to start off with a scripture that is in Matthew 16, 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Some others say Jeremiah or other prophets. Then Jesus asks you, you know, but what about you? He asks, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you know, I do find it interesting that Jesus kind of asked that question. And think about it, as human beings, a lot of times, we want to know, what do people think about me? You know, it's like, you know, when the pastor says, well, what do you think the church is thinking about me? Well, it's pretty bad. No, it's pretty good, actually. So we all want to know that question. What do you think about me? And Jesus asked this question, what are they saying about me? Are we getting the right message across? Are we going down the right path? And then, most importantly, who do you say I am? Do you, my disciples, my followers, my closest friends, who do you say I am? So I think that's an important thing. And then to compare that, compare what others are saying and compare what your closest friends are saying, it sometimes can be an interesting contrast. And I love Peter. Peter is one of my favorite disciples because Peter is always open mouth, insert foot. Okay. And so he reminds me so much of myself sometimes that we all have this tendency, but you know, one minute, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, it is on this rock, you Peter, that I'm going to build my church. And a few moments later, he's rebuking him because he said something else that he didn't agree with. That's Peter. You know, and a little while later, he informs him later on that, you know, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I'd never do that. Yeah, you are. because you're Peter, and I know you, and I love you, but you are. Okay? He knew Peter. He knew who he was. He knew he loved him, but he also knew his flaws, as Christ knows all of our flaws and accepts them, but still works on them to make them better, to correct them. This is important. So I love Peter. You know, this is Baptist Men's Sunday, and we're here to celebrate the men of our church with their leadership, their faith, and their flaws. So I ask the same question that Jesus asked. Who do people say we are? Right? What do they think of us? Are we setting the right example for our lives? My life has been in this church. I've grown up in this church a long time. This is my home. This is much as my home as the home I grew up with on Washington Avenue or the house I live on, South Walnut. This is my home. I grew up here. And people know the good, the bad, and the ugly of Roger Jarrett. But I grew up here, and like I said, not discounting the ladies of this church that have done so much for me over the years, I want to talk about those strong Baptist men over these years that did so much to mentor me and to stand as strong Christian role models. Now, a moment ago, Mr. Brady back there mentioned Max Hill. And most of the men I'm going to talk about this morning are directly in Highland Baptist Church. But Max is one of those people that was always there for me. He was there for our pastor. He's been here for a lot of our Baptist men and women in this state. And we're going to miss him dearly. But think of that man's work. And we're sitting here today. Who do people say I am? For Max Hill, he was a good man. He was a good Christian. He was a wonderful servant of God. And he's dancing in heaven now. But I do want to talk about the men of this church in one way or another. And I apologize if I leave somebody out. When I started thinking about myself growing up in this church and the influence of the strong Christian men within this church has been so important to me. And as it says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So besides my father and my brothers, who were wonderful men that helped shape me in my life and my other family members, here are just a few of the Highland Baptist men that have influenced my life. And so bear with me a little. Reverend Leroy Keeney, the preacher that started this church, that brought us all together, was so important in my young life. He baptized me. You know, he held me down a little longer just to make sure it took. Wonderful pastor and leader of this church for so many years. Really helped shape. And I've talked to the pastor about this. And many of you know, I started a lot of my, quote, martial arts teaching here at Highland Baptist Church. I taught in the fellowship hall. I would teach little classes. I taught in the gym. I was telling the pastor, you know, the old houses that we had back here in this lot. We used to go over there and clear out space and move chairs and work out over there. And quite often, Reverend Keeney would come by and watch me beating up someone. And we found it very interesting. But he was very supportive of me and very supportive of me when I'd made a decision to become a minister and to become a pastor. That's what I wanted to do. And I didn't really follow through with that, but I still work on it, still working on it a little bit. Reverend Bob Melton. How many remember Bob Melton? Anybody remember Bob Melton? Yes. He was an associate pastor here and a great minister and helped work with the youth and our choirs when we were younger. And he's the first person that helped me learn how to sing, and so don't blame Bob. He tried his best, but we had a good time, and he was a great leader and someone I looked up to and someone I very much appreciated in his leadership here. Reverend Joe Hyde, you know, it was It was under Joe that I really became more active in the church as an adult man myself, other than coming and bringing my kids here and being active in other ways. It was the first time I got involved. I came on the board of deacons and served many times as chairman of the board of deacons and so forth. So, and Joe and I became very close, and he was a great leader to me and a good person to talk to and share with, and really supported me and strengthened me in those years. And so I do appreciate his strong Baptist men's influence. Dalton Young. Who knows Dalton Young? Who remembers Dalton Young? Oh, my goodness. Dalton was a quiet man in a lot of ways. But he and his wife, Jenny, did so much for the youth of this church and to strengthen this church. It was just wonderful. And the time he set aside for us to help us and to work in this church and to work in church camps and so forth. Wonderful man. Miss him dearly. Jim Roberts. How many remember Jim Roberts? Oh. Jim was my scout leader, right? And Jim sang in the choir, even helped direct the choir here at different times. He had that deep bass voice. Sang with other, quartets and different things. And wonderful gentleman. And, with Jim, it's funny for me to even say, Jim. I remember when I first became chairman of the board of deacons. And Jim Roberts was one of the deacons that was on my board. And I was making plans of what we were going to do and setting up different things in the parishes and so forth. And I went to Jim and I said, Mr. Roberts, I would like for you to do this, or we're going to have do. You know, we were talking about different things. He looked at me, and this is right there in the back of the church. He said, Roger. He says, you can call me Jim, because I always called him Mr. Roberts. And I said, huh? He says, you can call me Jim. Yes, sir, Mr. Roberts, I will do that. And he looked at me, and he looked at me again, just get that deep look at his face. Jim. Because I was always taught, you didn't address an adult by their first name until you were properly allowed to do so. So that was hard. He was such a great leader in this church, and I do miss him. Ralph Arnett. I mean, Ralph. Yeah, good old Ralph. Such a wonderful, wonderful man. And helped me so much and helped so much when we were having a little struggle in this church and different things. Again, a great example of a strong Christian man that helped me so much in this church. And again, I hope I don't leave anybody out as I thought about 30 or 40 people if we get through these. But, you know, John Bagley, I miss having him back at that door. You know, I was so fortunate to be able to preach his funeral and so honored to do that. And he was such a good man. And, all those little pieces of candy, that special candy he would give you out as you came in. We all needed that little special piece of candy. And I know when I went to preach his funeral and I went to put on my sport coat and I reached down in my pocket, and he would always give these little orange cream candies a lot. And there was one that he had given me. And that was so special to me. And wonderful man. Charlie and Doyle Hartwell. How many remember the Hartwell boys? I still see them out every once in a while. They're still causing trouble at other places. Okay? Strong leaders in this church. Strong men that helped with our camps and our activities and the deacons and so forth. And Doyle, I saw him just the other day. And it's just Lynn and I ran into him at the pharmacy. And just a wonderful man to talk to. And such a strong Christian. He's up in his 90s now. He talks a little bit about his past, but I think man's had a great life and has done so much as a Christian man, as a Highland Baptist man. Adrian Gwynn. Now, some of you may not remember Adrian, a long time ago. Great writer, interesting fellow, okay? Wonderful man in this church. Did so much for us in this church. Bennett Burgess. Does anybody remember Bennett Burgess? No. Carol's going, no. My daddy. Bennett Burgess was an interesting man. I loved him so much. He did so much for us. Besides just working here in the church and the things he did in the church, you know, he was a lawyer. He would give me legal advice. He would, you know, he wouldn't even charge me for it. You got to feel good. The Burgess family were also important. Bennett and I didn't always agree on things, but we agreed to disagree. But we did agree on how much we loved the Lord. Roy Lowther. Do you guys know Roy Lowther? Is this on? Does anybody know Roy Lowther? As I called him as a kid, was Brother Roy. And the reason he got that, I don't, we did it at church camp. Of course, I grew up right down the street from Roy, so he was used to see me run the neighborhood, and his daughter Sandy, who was friends with my wife and good friends, and we ran around together and had a lot of youth groups together and had a lot of church camps together. But you couldn't find a stronger Christian man than Roy Lowther. That was always there to give advice. I remember when you go to church camp, and I missed a lot of camps and different things growing up because I did a lot of martial arts. You guys know I did martial arts? And I would go to the camps, and sometimes because I'd be training, getting ready for the national championships, which was usually always in the summer, I would take my karate gi to camp, and I'd be out there working out, and I'd run, and then I would do my kata formal exercises out there. Everybody said, you know, something wrong with Roger Jarrett. That kid is very strange. He's having conniptions out there in the field. You know, please pray for him. But Brother Roy was always there to support me and give me that support. And he's still here giving me that support. I look back and see that smiling face, and I feel so much better. John Curry. Now, you know, John's moved into that vacation mode down there permanently in Myrtle Beach, and we do miss him here in the church, but he's done so much for this church. Actually, John had never been on the board of deacons until I asked him to come on the board of deacons. And eventually he, of course, took over my job and became one of our strongest leaders here with the deacons, and he and his wife Donna did so much for this church, and I just always appreciated his counsel, and we could sit down and discuss different things. It was just wonderful. Ron Hall. Now, we all miss Ron. You know, such a good man and such a strong leader in this church. And like I said, you know, bear with me as I'm just bearing to you these important Baptist men that were so important in honing me, hopefully, to be a better man. You know, I think of Jim Morris, and I don't see Jim this morning, but, you know, great leader in this church, great supporter, that wonderful voice who was always there to be a part of our different programs. Johnny Johnson. Johnny Johnson, we go back and forth. We agree and we disagree. But I love that man. And I want to tell you how important he's been in my life and what he's done for the people in this church. He's always there to hard work. And I know he's going through different rough times, and we want to keep him in his prayers. Don't tell him how much I love him, because he'll just get the big head. So keep it quiet. Paul Minton. Paul Minton. Paul Minton, behind the scenes of this church, worked so hard for this church. And although we would have disagreements over this and that, that man kept this church financially sound and worked hard, and as a strong Christian man, kept us on the right path. Vernon Kay. Yeah, you're hiding back there, Vernon. Vernon's still out there leading me and helping me and giving advice. And he and his family have been so important in this church. And he is always here to do what he needs to do for the church. And I would say at this point, he's the pastor's right-hand man, okay, to really help things get things. And I just want to thank him for that. J. Miles. Jay's sometimes a quiet guy, you know, money guy, figures guy, helped me so much, not only here in the church, but in my business and insurance. He was right beside me in my business. I've been down there in Old Main Plaza since 1977, and Jay was always there to help me with advice on different things, not only being a strong leader in this church. Terry Harvey. Isn't it so good to see Terry back up here leading? Now, Terry and I are closer to each other in age. He's still older. Okay. But he has served as a mentor for me in this church. As a strong leader in the choir, and he did let me sing a little bit when I was younger, and we worked with our youth choir and our group here, and I remember when Terry came here as a young man, and I knew his grandmother who lived in Kincaid, okay, because my brother had pastored a church up there, and she went sometimes to his church, so it was, you know, a small world. And when he came here, it was just so wonderful. And then, of course, he started shopping for a wife. He decided to get one of these Baptist girls here. I remember when he flipped the coin to see which one of those twins he was going to take out. That's not true, Janice. Maybe it was. You can think about that. I love Terry Harvey, and I'm so glad to see him up here leading. He's been such an important person in this church that has helped so many. Elbert Brady, sitting back there. I think he first met me when I was dating the preacher's daughter out in New Hope Baptist Church, right? And I was a young teenager, causing trouble, you know. Now, you got to remember, in high school, yeah, I was a martial artist, and I was training, and I even started teaching my first classes. But I was president of the Bible Club. We restarted the Bible Club in high school, and so I was proud of that. My high school years, I tried to represent Highland Baptist as best I could. About every Friday night, we had what we called mixers here at the church for the youth. And usually the Youngs and a few other people, the Hartwells, helped us out with that. And it was just a place to come. We'd come here every Friday night and hang out and have some chips and some pop and play some games and tell stories and just be kids. But kids in a safe place, in a place that was strong with good Christian values. So Elbert Brady knew me when I was a young kid. But, you know, now that he's here at our church and I've seen all the good work. I mean, I think about, you know, I've traveled the world, but I traveled the world to kick and punch people. He travels the world to bring people to Christ. And I can't think of a better example than that. Bill Samples. There's old Bill's hiding over there. Always here. The Samples family has always been a important part of this church, working and helping and fixing things and making sure we're staying together. But just an absolute good man. Somebody that you really want to look up to. Reverend Mark Stauffer. Mark and I didn't always agree. Okay? But he loved Christ, he loved this church, and he tried to do his best. Nobody's perfect, especially me. And then, let's see. And again, I don't want to leave anyone out. But I will say Reverend Jason Robbins, that new pastor we have. You know, it's so good to have him here. I like to be able to go back when he's finished his sermon and just say, thank you, Pastor, because I mean it. Okay, and it's so good to have him here. So there are so many over the years that I could talk about. I could go on forever, and I won't because I'll get in trouble. But these and many others served as mentors to me, taught me things, served as role models for me. Men I want to emulate, strive to be like in some way. These men are not perfect, as none of us are. They had their flaws, just like Peter, but God used them and this church to help mold me in my faith. And I am sure they did with many, many others over the years. Too many of us, too many people look in the wrong places for role models. Whether it be in sports figures, actors, even politicians. In this day of high media and internet society, our children find the wrong people to idolize and emulate. And they should be looking to the strong Christian leaders that we have, making sure they're here in church so they find the right people. You know, in the martial arts, we have titles for instructors. And the most often term used is sensei. And it's a very important title. But sensei, as we say teacher, literally means born before. The idea of a sensei is someone that has experienced something in life before you and is now trying to come back and share those experiences and to help the person go down the right path. This is what a sensei. So a sensei is a lot more people than just a teacher. It's a mother, it's a father, it's a grandfather, it's a grandmother. You know, it's a pastor, somebody that's experienced something in life and says, do this, don't do that. Trust me, I know. Okay, to try to lead you down the right path. You know, I have a special title at my high rank in martial arts now. It's called Hanshi. Okay, now Hanshi, we say, oh, this is a grandmaster of what I'm teaching. But literally the word Hanshi means model gentleman, model person. And sometimes when I think about that and people address me that, both at my own school and across the world, I'm almost embarrassed of that fact. You know, you think about it, I'm supposed to be a model person. You know, I'm supposed to be that special person that sets the right example for everyone else. That's a hard job because we're all flawed. So we always have to come back on our love and faith of Jesus Christ and ask him to help us in that situation. And it's a hard thing. And I have so much responsibilities. I've had the privilege to have taught thousands of students over the years. I hope and pray that I've served as a positive influence, both professionally and personally for them. Fortunately, I've had a lot of confirmation, good things over the years. It's not all been perfect. I've lost some that have not made it, some that you try to help them down the right path, but we're all flawed. But it's nice. It's nice sometimes to, you know, I was walking in Kroger's and I ran into a gentleman and he said hello to me and I'm trying to look and that's one of those things where you look in someone's face and saying, who are you? I know you. I know you. And they said, you know, my two children took class from you and they only got so far. But I just want to tell you, you know, they're grown now. One's in college and one has a family. I just want to tell you that the experience they had at your dojo was wonderful. And it really helped, I think, to strengthen them for their lives. And those are the things I want to hear, that I hope to hear. You know, I ran into a gentleman. I was going into Rite Aid just the other day. And this guy was sitting in his car. And he hollered, Master Jack! Who's that? You know, and I looked at him, and again, it's one of those faces I really didn't recognize him. Okay? He says, you haven't aged at all. You look so good. And I'm thinking, oh, this guy really is not seeing well. Okay? But he said to me, he says, I took classes from you when I was 8 years old. I'm 52 now. And this, you got to remember, I started teaching young people. And he told me, and I looked at him, and he goes, you just look so good. You just don't look like you age. I'm thinking, I couldn't figure out whether this was a compliment or not. Because if he was 8 years old and thought I looked like I look now, I must have looked really bad. And I know he was trying to compliment me. I was sitting there. I got a chuckle. And we spoke for a few moments. It's just wonderful to see that. You know, I have a young man right now that just landed about 2 hours ago in Santiago, Chile. Eric Kuhn. And he's come here to church and was part of our youth group for a period of time. And he made the U.S. team and we're very excited for him, very nervous for him, but we just put him on the plane yesterday. He flew all night down to Chile. And the last text I got from him just a little while ago is, well, I'm here at the hotel. I can't check in till 2 o'clock. It's 10:30. I said, okay, you'll be all right. Take a nap, you know. Go out and find somewhere to have some lunch. There's other team members there. You'll find them. It's okay. But I'm excited to have him down there. And we sent him to Ecuador, and he did a good job there. Wasn't able to place, but it was an exciting time for him. But I've got to tell you, 2 months before the young man, or maybe less, before he made the U.S. team, I'm sitting in the pastor's office telling him, I'm going to kill this young man. Was I not? Because he had swayed from what I wanted him to go. He had the path, and he knew it. And it's hard to keep some of these kids on the right path. And I had just given him a lecture in my office, and I was screaming at him, saying, "This is your last chance. If you do not straighten up, I cannot keep you in this class. I cannot have you in here wearing a black belt, being a role model for my students, and doing some of the things you were doing." And he's upset and crying and saying he's going to do better, and I'm sitting there going. And so I went to the pastor, and I told the pastor, "I'm going to kill him. I don't know what to do." Because I love these young people that I deal with, and I want to be the right role model for them. And I look today and watching how my son is now becoming that role model for them, which it makes me very proud. But he straightened up, put himself in there, got dedicated to what he was doing, others helping him. And a month or so later, he made the U.S. team. And I'm sitting there going, I'm very proud of him, but I still may have to kill him. And I'm sitting there going, do I want to send this kid to a foreign country? And do I want to buy him a round-trip ticket? I don't know. So I'm anxious to see how he does. Not just whether he wins a medal or not. Just on how he is as a human being. What is he doing down there? And I hope he sets the right example. And so please keep him in your prayers as we think about this. So there's been so many people that I've hopefully influenced positively over the years. Just like the men of this church have hopefully influenced me and helped me become a better and stronger person. You know, we have to think about the people that we influence in our lives. We want to thank God for all the strong Christian men and women that have served as mentors and role models for us over the years and over the course of our lives. And it's important for our children as well. We must make sure that they are raised in an environment of strong Christian men and women that influence their lives. And there's no better place than that, than in church. And I'll put a commercial in. I'd recommend Highland Baptist Church. I'd recommend a lot of these men that are come and gone, but I still look out there and I still see faces that I should have included in my list that are just strong, strong Christian men that I really appreciate. You know, they need to be in church, not on the soccer field, not on the baseball diamond, the basketball court, or even the karate dojo. Nothing can be as good as the experience and learning in God's house. So I leave you with that question. Who do they say you are? Who do they say you are? Are you setting the right example in your life for the people that are around you? Do they know you're a Christian by your love, by your actions, by the way you interact? You know, it's one thing to be up preaching a sermon or doing something else, but just walking that life every day, whether it be at school, at work, at home, who do they say you are? Who do the people around you say you are? Who do your closest friends, do they know really who you are? And most importantly, do you know who you are? Have you opened your life to Christ? And is Christ centered in your life to help you through the ups and downs? To help you through the right and the wrong? To help you maybe mentor or set as a role model for someone else? That we learn, as we said, to sharpen one another. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this privilege of being here with my church. And the privilege of our Baptist Men's Sunday and the privilege of the understanding and the strength of the strong Baptist men that have affected my life and have affected so many other lives. And sometimes it's things that we don't even know. We ask, dear Lord, that you strengthen us as we finish the service today and go forth. And if there's anyone here that does not know the strength and love of Jesus Christ, that they come forward and experience what it's like to be a strong Baptist man or woman. Thank you, dear Lord, for your guidance. Thank you for your Son. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
That's what this day is about. It's what Baptist Women's Day is about. It's about taking time to remember those that have impacted us, who were the Bible that we've read, who made the stories of Jesus come alive to us. I was honored just to be mentioned in that list, knowing a good number of the saints here, the people that have helped to sculpt all of us. You're one of them, for me. The Christian life isn't a guarantee of no suffering. It's not a guarantee of a life of monetary prosperity. It's not a guarantee of anything that this world values. It's a guarantee of hope in the darkest hours that you can ever face. It's a guarantee of strength beyond what you think that you're capable of. It's a guarantee that no matter what you walk through, you're never alone. What's that old cliche that we toss around but is still true nonetheless? You plus God make a majority. So it's easy to look around and see defeat. But I challenge you instead to look around and see the victories. For 71 years, this people have stood together like a family, have endured challenges, hardships, anger and frustration, and yet the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of that victory has always held her together. And I'll tell you, sometimes you can tell that we're under attack because somebody doesn't like what's going on in this place. Yesterday, I was showing a new volunteer. I was showing Kathy how to use the screens, and they didn't work. No, I didn't. I've got witnesses. But there is but God has a purpose for this place. A purpose for you. One of the testimonies, an amazing set of testimonies that we heard today, is that you are noticed. That the way you live your life, your words, your conduct, your conversation, your character, all the things that make you you, that God has used to make you you, don't go unnoticed. That the person that God created you wonderfully, fearfully, created you to be through your circumstances, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, created you for impact. We heard a wonderful example, several wonderful examples of how that impact has forged us into something better. Amen? So as we depart here, my challenge for you is to think about those spiritual fathers, just as Paul was a spiritual father for Timothy. Think about the fathers that have been part of your life that helped to mold you and to shape you into something more, something stronger, something Christ-like, someone Christ-like. To offer a prayer of thankfulness for that and to be for someone else what that person was for you. So thank you, Brother Roger.
And thank you for the many men of the faith that have stood with this congregation and stood with me to help them make us that someone better. So, fellowship in the fellowship hall downstairs, 6 o'clock today. Remember our Wednesday night events. We're leaving for lunch with the youth to figure out the mud level in just a little bit. And no, I'm not running through a corn maze full of mud. You'll pay for my dry clean. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God of victory in our times of challenge. We thank you for loving us beyond our faults, beyond our frustrations, and for molding, for shaping, for repairing, for strengthening, for not giving up on us. Lord, I thank you for the men of the faith that help to continue to nurture us and to continue to embolden us to your work. So be with us now and help us, the church of today, all of us, to be a living, visible, and tangible example of you for others, so that those that come after us would grow in the faith as well, to see you and your life lived out through us. So strengthen us, transform us, change us, mold us as you will, so that we may truthfully be called Christian, be called Christ-like to those younger brothers and sisters of the faith that will come after us. Continue to be with us as we set foot outside of this sanctuary. Bring us back into your safety. But give us a stronger sense of fellowship, both with each other and with you, to hold together as family. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. And all God's people said,